Isn't it good that your soul can be okay even though life might be crazy?
It is well, but that's only with the Lord. If you don't have the Lord, your life is based on how things are going and what is happening and what the weather is doing and what you ate yesterday and all kinds of things that affect your emotions. But when with Jesus Christ, it is well with your soul. I'll be in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Along those lines... Talking about a sound mind, we're talking today about the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear, 2 Timothy chapter 1. When I came here to pastor, I had been, of course, you know my background is I grew up in a rough home and grew up in with a lot of damage and baggage to me from my upbringing and from just things of divorce and rejection and abuse and different things that I had dealt with, and God had done amazing work and changed me and made me fine and healed me up. I am every statistic. I'm supposed to be every statistic that you can possibly have, and I was on my way to being that as far as being from a two-time divorced home, an abuse home, and a drug home, and all those things, and I was supposed to be all messed up. I'm not supposed to be married after 23 years and happily married, and I'm not supposed to have all those things, but I wouldn't have been. My wife asked me, what do you think we'd be like, or where would you be if you wouldn't have become a Christian? I said, well, jail, first of all. That's an easy one. She goes, no. I said, you didn't know me when I wasn't saved. She didn't know me. We grew up in the same city. We hung around different people. And she hung around the smart people and her parents were together, and although her dad had been divorced and remarried, they were together, and since she was two, and they were both educators and had her doing good in school, and we hung around different crowds and stuff, and most of my friends, I would venture to say, everybody I grew up with spent time in jail. I'm pretty safe on that. Some of them aren't going to get out. They're messes. It was just a rough, rough lot. We were talking about, I don't know, I was talking about the kids we grew up with. We were so rough. We played football. I remember one of the kids got knocked out. I mean, he was just unconscious. And we just laughed and laughed and laughed while he was unconscious. Actually, we were so rough. And if you bothered to cry, you were ridiculed, and it was, we were just a rough lot, running from police, my family was so messed up, and I didn't have anywhere, and I was such a mess. They wanted me out of the school so bad. I was in so much trouble in school, and then I became a Christian, started serving the Lord. By the time I was 17, and my life was transformed. And I was becoming stable mentally, emotionally. I wasn't stable mentally and emotionally growing up. I was dangerous, and God changed me. Of course, then I went to Bible college and kept growing, kept learning, and spent 7 years in Chicago working with troubled people and messed up people. And then I came out here. Now in Chicago, I was dealing with gang members and violence and Cook County prison and jail and all those things. And but then I came out here, and I met Seattle is not a high crime area. It's just not. When I was in Chicago, they averaged 700 murders a year when I was in Chicago. Seattle averaged about 25. Okay, if that tells the difference. And I was in the high crime areas. But Seattle has a totally different set of problems. People in Seattle are messed up mentally and emotionally. It's the highest rate of antidepressants anywhere in the world. And people are wounded, and people are so wounded in their minds. They have events that happen in childhood, and it's tough when your dad abandoned you, or your dad's an alcoholic and beat you, or when your parents, you know, tell you they hate you and didn't want you, and or you've been molested, or your husband ran off with somebody else, or all the things that happen to wound people. It affects people, and then. You know, just a lot of other things can affect you. And in my series, in my lesson, we'll get the passage here in a second. there's two different, I'm going to section it off. There are people who are born with a physical brain problem, or a brain injury happens when they're in the military in a serious car wreck. Okay. That is people with Down syndrome, people with stuff like that. And we you can usually look and see that something happened. Some trauma happened inside their brain, and now they got a shrapnel in their head or something like that. This series is not about that, although it'll help people with physical brain injuries. Psychology today is, and I've got articles on it, and I could read them to you. I won't go into them. I won't have time to get into them in probably any series. The American Psychology Association, the whole group that recommends diagnosis, they got caught about 5 years ago or 6 years ago. They got caught. There's seven members. Every single member got caught was doing a side study for big money for a pharmaceutical company. They were getting paid, you know, just go study the results of, you know, dirt on crickets, and we're going to pay you $650,000 a year to do that. Every single one of them was getting paid like that on the side. In that article, they interviewed some sane psychiatrists and psychotherapists, and they said, you know, we have been wondering for years, while the only recommendation is medication and not counseling and working with people, they just keep telling us from the top, medication, 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 medication. But we have more success when we actually talk it through and give solutions. But they said, we just keep on getting that recommendation, and we have to doctor defensively, because if you don't do what's been recommended from the highest, the APA, then you're in trouble legally when somebody kills themselves. And so many people are now on are on all the different type of medications because of that. And we have somebody come to church and they say, I suffer from da 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 da. And it really honestly doesn't matter any diagnosis. If you're bipolar, if you're severe anxiety, if you're all of them, we deal with all of them all the time. You have social anxiety disorder, abandonment disorder. It doesn't matter. We deal with them, all of them, all the time. People say, I can't come to church because of this. I just come one time. And they come and they're fine. And almost inevitably, they come to me after about 2-3 months and they say, Pastor, I am so happy and so much different. I'm going to stop taking my drugs. And I say, whoa, 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 whoa. Those things are very powerful. You go tell your psychiatrist, you go tell, I need to get off these things, but you're going to have to wean yourself off them. And it happens, and we have great success with that. And a lot of people in this room were and aren't anymore. And I'm not saying that's everybody. I'm not saying everybody has to do that. The Bible has the answer to a sound mind. Okay? Your wounds can be healed. Your insecurities can be fixed. Your messed up problems can, listen, just because you're wounded 15, 20, 30 years, it doesn't matter, doesn't mean you have to have a bad life. There's a great life for you, and it's not only because you got the right medication. It is well with my soul. Let's read 1 Timothy. Today we're going to talk about the spirit of fear. Just do that one subject. We've got a lot of other subjects to go into. And I don't care about people's diagnosis. I don't care if you've never been diagnosed. It really doesn't matter to me. Everybody needs a more stable mind. And these things work for everybody. And if you just have a problem, you can't control yourself in traffic, and you pound the steering wheel and, you know, bite the steering wheel or whatever you do when you don't, it doesn't matter. Everybody needs to have a sound, stable mind. For 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and am also persuaded in that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's pray. Lord, speak to us now through thy word, and we pray for power. We pray for wisdom as we study and change our lives. Make us sound of mind. And Lord, give people some hope and give people some grace and peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible has a lot to say about the mind. It says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, "In the peace of 7 and 8, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through our Lord Jesus Christ." The Bible says in Romans 12, "Be renewed in your mind." Another passage says, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." We were, and the Bible says in I believe it's Ephesians, we were enemies in our minds from God. There's a lot in the Bible about the mind, and it deals with it a lot. The Bible says here, we are not given by God the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear. He has given us something else. He's given us the spirit of power, verse 7, and of love, and of a sound mind. Fear is spoken of a lot in the Bible. Let me just give you one passage, Matthew chapter 10. And we'll hit fear on other lessons as we wander through these lessons, because the mind is connected in many ways and many different struggles. Anxiety and fear are run pretty parallel, don't they? And but they're a little different, and these things will be we'll talk about them. And but today we'll do just a little. We'll do fear and just some of the passages. Matthew chapter 10, and Jesus talks about fear. Verse 26: "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known." So Jesus gives us a reason why not to fear here. Talk about your enemies, because he says everything that is covered will be revealed. So they accuse you of this, but you didn't really do it, and you got messed up, and you got this thing happened to you, and it seems like they got away with it. But the Bible says, don't fear them, because there is nothing covered that will not be revealed. I will reveal everything in the end. And you say, you know what? It looks like they ripped me off, or they got away with it, but you know what? In the end, it'll be revealed. The Bible talks about it's shouted on the housetops. God just says, I'm going to reveal it all. So you know what? I'm okay that everybody thinks I'm wrong. But you know what? If you get accused of something and you didn't do it, and everybody believes the person who accused you, it can mess you up. I had that when I was a kid. I was with a kid, and we were messing around in the car. We were 6 and 7, maybe, and my neighbor kid, and we were messing around in the car, and he found a book of matches in this car, abandoned car in a field, and he lit the book of matches, and there was a checkbook in there. He lit the checkbook, and it all lit on fire, and he jumped out of the car, and I grabbed a pile of glass, threw it in the fire, and jumped out of the car and ran out and ran across the street, and this is back in Boise, I ran over to my house, ran up the upstairs room. Right across the street was this field, big old dry field of grass, Boise summer. And I said to my sister, I said, "Connie, if someone's lit on fire and there was a fire and you threw glass on it, would it put it out?" Just as a curious child I was. And she says, "Why?" "Ah!" And she looks out the window and the whole field's on fire. And you know, the fire department came and that kid said, "I did it." And I was too scared to say anything. I was 6 years old, fields on fire, fire sirens everywhere. And the policeman said, "You lit this thing on fire, fireman, you lit this thing on fire." I had these horrible things, I was going to go to jail and all these things. And to this day, I'm still the one who got blamed for that fire. I'm still messed up. And sometimes you get blamed, you lose in court, and something else bad happens, and you just dwell on it, and you get bitter, and she says, don't worry about that stuff. Don't fear people. Verse 27, "What I had to tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light, and that ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetop. And fear not them which kill the body, but are able to kill and not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." Don't fear, but fear God. "Are not two farthings sold for are two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, for you are more value than many sparrows." You know, God knows every bird that falls to the ground. Don't fear, because God knows about you. See how many times fear comes in there? It says it's okay to fear God, But don't fear what they can do to you, and don't fear man, and don't worry about life, because nothing can happen if you're serving God. The hairs of your head are numbered, and don't fear, because a bird can't, somewhere in the Cascades right now, a bird's falling on the ground, and God's watching it go plop. And God watches everything that happens to you. So don't be afraid. It's spoken of often in the Bible. Fear is not, is a very common subject. God has given us a sound mind, not the spirit of fear. Notice that. Over here is the spirit of fear. Over here is power and love and of a sound mind. Now, fear by itself is not bad. Fear can be good for you. If a lion is behind you and roaring, fear makes you run faster. That's a good thing. If fear keeps you from walking in front of a car, fear keeps you from, it makes you run a little faster when the car is coming faster than you thought. Fear is okay. Fearing God is okay. Fear is a natural reaction in many instances. It makes you cover your head. It makes you not do stupid things, hopefully, if you have some good fear. Makes you think, oh no, I better turn around. I better not go there. Or all kinds of things. Makes you not touch the hot burner. Fear is a normal and good thing. But it says God's not given us the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear, the word spirit in the Bible is an interesting word, but we would say an attitude of fear, a way of thinking of fear, this is what I do, I fear, I live in fear, I make my decisions in fear, I think everything's going to go bad, I think everything's going to go wrong, I won't try anything because I live in fear, I won't talk to anybody because I'm afraid, I live in fear of these things. God has not given us that. Yes, it's okay for you to say, hey, the guy's got a gun pointed at me. I'm going to give him my wallet. That fear's healthy. It's okay. It's fine. But when you live in fear, God's not given us the spirit of fear. Fear comes in many forms. A fear of failure. A fear of abandonment. A fear of growing old. Of rejection. A fear of death. A fear of the future, a fear of losing someone. There's a lot of different fears that people get, and a lot of different fears affect people. They're afraid of what somebody's going to do to them. They're afraid of what people will think of them. And literally, they'll do foolish things. They'll do things they know better than to do because they're afraid. And the Bible says a fear of man brings a snare. Don't fear man. Fear comes in a lot of different forms, but he has not given us the spirit of fear. Don't live in fear. It messes you up. Don't make decisions by fear. He's not given us the spirit of fear. Well, I'm afraid if I don't do this, this will happen. You know how many bad decisions are made by fear? A lot. I think you should make decisions in faith and in a sound mind, not in fear. You'll find somebody will stay in a relationship because they're afraid. You know, here's the wounds that happen. A girl, when she is 9, loves her dad. Her dad runs off and abandons the family. And now she got wounded so deeply by this abandonment that now she has this fear of abandonment. Now she's in a relationship at 19 with a guy who's a bad guy. And the guy beats her and he lays around all day and doesn't work. And she will not get rid of him. Why? She's afraid of abandonment. And she says, and then he beats her, and then she gets jailed, and then she says, that's it, I'm done with him. And guess what? She brings him back because she's afraid of abandonment. Fear is a terrible way to make decisions. You know, somebody says, you know what? I really got this skill, and I'd like to start a business, but I'm afraid of what would happen if I don't make your decisions in fear. You think things through. You pray about things. You believe God. You make bad decisions when you say, I'm just afraid that if I don't do this, don't decide things that way. Don't live in a spirit of fear. Don't live thinking, oh, if this happens, no. You have a great God in heaven. And you don't have to live and make all your decisions. What happens if I don't do this? No. God has not given us a spirit of fear. God leads by faith. He is the author of peace, not confusion. It says, and you make foolish decisions. He's not given us the spirit of fear. Don't live in fear. It messes you up. It messes you up anywhere from not giving yourself to your spouse to reclusive hiding. I've just had these issues of trust, but your spouse is trustworthy. Well, I just had these issues of trust anyway. Stop it. You're ruining your marriage by fear. He or she does not deserve that. Trust him. But I don't trust easily. Okay, fix yourself. Gotta tell you, this is not the place to become a victim. We don't allow victimhood here. Choose. You don't need because, listen, because I was beaten with 2x4s, which I was when I was a kid, and choked and punched in the face and all kinds of bad things, does not mean I have to go and say, well, I'm going to do that to my kids. I'm not a victim. Because I come from a divorced home does not mean I have to. It means I'm more likely. But just because my dad abandoned my kids doesn't mean I have to abandon my kid. To abandon me doesn't mean I need to abandon my kids. You do not have to be a victim to everything. You say, this was wrong. And you know what? It hurt me. However, I'm not going to be afraid to love now. I'm not going to be afraid to trust now. I can give you people in this church you can trust. There's people in this room who are good people, who you can trust. And you might know people in your life who say, why don't you trust me? You say, well, it's just, I have issues. Okay. Quit saying I have issues like it's a good thing. And using it for an excuse, say, I have some issues. I've got to fix this. I'm going to trust you. And do not be a person who the abandonment thing and the fear of relationships. By the way, it's okay that if you're in a bad relationship and you're in an abusive relationship, you are afraid to get another bad relationship, so you pick more carefully. You have a sound mind. Understand? It drives you to making good decisions. You say, look, he's abandoned 3 different women and he's beaten all 3 of them. Maybe I shouldn't be with this guy. You think logically. Fear will make you do foolish things. The sound mind makes you say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to choose wisely. God has not given me that spirit of fear. I'm not going to, I'm going to pay the bills. Listen, can I tell you something? You are better off alone struggling to pay bills than in a bad relationship with the bills paid. Quit making those bad excuses. You want to fail because you came from that and you're letting it choose the way you live the rest of your life. Stop it. You say, you can't just tell people to stop it and you can't just be so firm and you got to be, listen, I've been dealing with people with these problems for 25 years. If you let people say, well, I just grew up like this, so I'm just like this, then they stay like that forever. When you maybe will face themselves and say, stop it. They oftentimes say, you know what? You're right. I'm going to stop it. Amen? Amen? You're not a victim. You don't have to let it ruin the rest of your life. You don't have to be a... Listen, God heals people. And time heals. And good people heal you. And do not live in fear. You say, if I had this and this and this, I wouldn't fear anymore. You know, people can fear if they're fearful and they give them the spirit of fear. It doesn't matter what their circumstances in life. You know, people who are in much more insecure places than us don't live in fear. You know Howard Hughes is? Richest man in the world for a while. Built Las Vegas, basically. You know, he had unspeakable wealth, charismatic, good-looking guy. Built unbelievable empire, had all the money you could imagine, and you know he sat there in a dark room, afraid of germs, at the end of his life, with huge long fingernails, wouldn't let anybody get within 4 feet of him. He wore Kleenex boxes for slippers, because he was afraid of germs. And he sat, and he had every kind of security in the world. I have been in poor countries where they take the last of their food and feed me. And I'm going, what are you going to eat? And they're not the least bit worried. And I find people in America who've got fridge and cupboards full of food, and then they got the basement full of survival food, and they're still scared. Fear, a spirit of fear permeates anything. You can have everything just right. You can be married to the perfect person, and you're still afraid they're going to abandon you if you've got the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear messes you up. Don't live in a spirit of fear. It varies. I've been with people who have mental problems, who are scared and reclusive and hiding in their house. I can tell you stories. I went to a house one time. A guy looked as normal and sharp, very talented, very educated. And I met him at his house to go visit with him. He came to our church. He was as normal and sharp looking as you can imagine. And I went to his house, and as I got to his house, he was wearing a gas mask and handed me a gas mask to walk into his house. And I put the gas mask on, and we went inside his house, and he was like, "Be careful of that shoe right there. That shoe was poisoned by the Russians. There was poison things all over in my house." And everything in between I've seen. I took the gas mask off. Man, those things are hard to breathe in. It's hot. I said, "Listen, I trust God." "You're okay." And he's so shocked I didn't die in his house. It was amazing. And listen, you can have a spirit of fear in any circumstance. And when you get a spirit of fear, it drives you to not making good decisions. He's given us something better. For God hath not, for 2 Timothy there, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. I've got to hurry. Let me just give you some things God's given us to not live in fear, because he doesn't want us to be that way. You can have victory. You might have failed in the past and you're afraid of failing again. Listen, you don't have to live in a spirit of fear. Number one, what to do about fear? Number one, be stirred in the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting of my hands." That's in you. I believe that's the Holy Spirit. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Bible talks about the Holy Spirit as a gift that is in you. Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit brings boldness. Acts 4:31, "They all prayed, and the place was shaken, and they all filled with the Holy Ghost, and spake the word of God with boldness." In this passage, it's fear is about timidity. The next verse, he says, "Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me as prisoner." Don't live in fear of that. I don't know when I changed to not being afraid anymore. Because in my home, I was the odd one. My sister and two brothers were steps from a very successful man. And then I was the youngest, and I was from an alcoholic dad. I was messed up and insecure. And then my brother was a drug dealer and very abusive, and my mom was never there. She was working all the time. And so I had 20 issues coming from all these different directions. I was a very scared child. I couldn't turn my lights off in my room at night. I was afraid of the dark. I was claustrophobic. I had just a whole litany of fears that were in me. I was a very scared child. And if you know me now, you think it's very funny, because I'm completely reckless now. I'm not afraid of anything. My wife and everybody always tells me, "You shouldn't be doing that." I'm not going wherever in the world. Nothing scares me. And I should have more fear. But I was messed up, and somewhere along the way when I started serving God, I just at some point realized, I'm not afraid anymore. I was so afraid of talking to strangers, and I'd shake and nervous, and now, man, I go witnessing and go to foreign countries and go all over the place, and I'm fine. Somewhere along the way when I started serving God, I started finding myself able to go up and witness to people I didn't know. And that was the scariest thing in the world to me, to go tell somebody about Jesus. But the Holy Spirit gives you a boldness, and you lose that fear. The Holy Spirit just makes you secure in what you are. Let me take a good verse on Romans. It's Romans chapter 8. The Holy Spirit, just being filled with the Spirit. And I can't teach in all that, but I want to say, just having the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life Great verses, Romans 8, 14 and 15. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we see the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. There's a bunch of stuff in there. It says you don't got the spirit of fear anymore. Now you've been given the spirit of adoption that makes you cry, Abba, Father. It makes you cry to your heavenly Father and say, Daddy. Did you remember in Matthew 10 you read, fear not, for your Father knows what you need? Do you know what makes a secure child more than anything else? Dad. Dad. And I would say moms are vital, and moms are absolutely have to have them, and they do a bunch of things that they stabilize and help a child. But you usually find, and especially the girls, but all people, they a whole bunch of how secure they are has to do with their relationship with their dad. If their dad doesn't accept them, rejects them, they're messed up. It's very, very common. Dad, so a father, it's such a great responsibility. And can I tell you, people think so many of the other factors are what makes a kid secure. If they experience this and do this. No, they need to have, if they're secure with their parents, they're usually pretty secure, kids are. My kids are secure. Though they haven't experienced everything in the world, fortunately. But they can go talk to strangers or stay in a foreign country like they have or do whatever they need to do. They're very secure. Why? Because we're close. Because that illustrates your relationship with your father. Now me, I had to get a relationship with my heavenly father. Because he becomes a father to the fatherless. And now that I'm secure in my relationship with my father, I don't need people to like me to be okay. The one who I care the most about. Now, I don't like it when people don't like me. But I'll get up and preach exactly the same tonight or tomorrow. Or it doesn't matter what. If you all frown at me and stuck your tongue out at me the whole service, you'll be perfectly fine. I'll stick my tongue back out. And but, you know, because my security doesn't come from a congregation who likes me or because my neighbors like me or because everybody thinks I'm cool. Matter of fact, I don't care if I'm cool anymore. My security comes from my father saying, well done. And if your dad messed you up and your dad isn't what he should be, instead of sitting there thinking about your dad on earth all the time and how much he wounded you and how much he messed you up, look up and get close to your heavenly father. It'll heal you. Because sometimes your fathers aren't right, and sometimes they criticize you, and sometimes they do really bad things. Sometimes they never accept you, and you run around your whole life trying to find somebody to accept you in a spirit of fear. Stop. God accepts you. He knew every sin you ever done, and he said, I love you anyway, and I want you to be my child. I'm going to put my spirit into you, and that spirit will remove the spirit of fear, and that spirit will say, Abba, Father, I want you, Daddy, and you will become secure in your relationship with God. That's what changes. Be stirred in the Holy Spirit. It is not that you don't have fear. It's what you do have. You have power. You have love. And you have a sound mind. It overcomes all the fears and insecurities. And you get it right. And what messes you up, and multiple cycles in their lives they go through, are usually fear-based. Do you know many people are mean because they're insecure and have fear? That's why they're mean. No, they're bold and they're aggressive. That's all a facade. And they feel like they have to dominate people because they're in fear, they're insecure. Mark that down. People who are mean and domineering are usually the most insecure people. When you're secure, you don't have to dominate somebody. You don't have to do those things. You get something greater. Number one, be stirred by the Holy Spirit if you want to get rid of fear. Number two, be filled with love. I'm going to give you 1 John chapter 4. Be filled with love. You say, all these things don't seem associated. Well, they work. It's what God says fixes these things. Be filled with love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. It says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of Herein is love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." Love and fear don't coexist. Let me illustrate this. A martyr is going to be fed to the lion. I've read many, Fox's Book of Martyrs, many stories about the martyrs, and how that they march toward the lions because they love the Lord so much. They weren't afraid. People burn at the stake, and they sang hymns on that stake because they love the Lord so much. It removes their fear. A man runs in front of a car and shoves her child out of the way, not afraid of the car. Why? She loves her child. When you get filled with love, I don't know why, but there's just so much room inside of us. And when you get filled with love for people and concern about people and care for people and get busy helping people, love just kind of pushes fear out. First time I went to Chicago, I went to the most dangerous area in America. It was called Cabrini Greens. It doesn't exist anymore. It's the most dangerous, you can look it up online, most dangerous area in America. Unbelievable amount of murders there. The police did not go in. If you got an ambulance call, the ambulance would not go in until they got a police escort of six policemen with them. Then they'd go in. That's how dangerous these places were. War zones. They'd just shoot from the windows back and forth all day, every day. Gunshots there all the time. And somebody went there and told me there is these high-rise projects full of people, and they'll listen to the gospel all day long. And I said, "Let's go." And I got there, and I looked at those people, and I saw just the way they lived. What a disaster. I mean, moms coming crying, saying, "My 12-year-old's carrying a gun now." I'm just bawling her. I just, terrible. I was the only white person within blocks. And people would tell me, "You shouldn't be in here. It's not safe." But you know what? I love those people. And I never thought to fear. Carried my big black Bible just like this in my hand, so they knew I wasn't a lost businessman or an undercover cop, because if either one, I was dead. And I went in there and just loved the people. Forgot about my fear. Perfect love casts out fear. You know, if you'd fill your life with love for people, love for needs, you know, if you find somebody who's hungry and you have a way to feed them, you'll forget whether you're in a dangerous area. Because love casts out fear. You won't be afraid of people when you start loving them. When you all of a sudden look at that person who's nasty to you and say, "You know, boy, they need Jesus. And they're going to kind of come and dominate me or be mean to me or push me around. But you know what? They need Jesus. I've got to help reach them. I'm going to just go talk to them." I've had many, 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 many a times where some lady started serving the Lord and she's in a bad, abusive relationship. And she says, "I need to get out of this, but I'm afraid." And I said, "Listen, I'll go with you." How many times those same bullies who threaten her and any man who threaten a woman like that, they come up to me and stand in my face and get in my face and tell me what they're going to do to me, and they're going to kill me, and they're going to do this and that. And I'll say, "Just keep moving your stuff. I'll deal with him." I'm not afraid of him. The lady needs to get out of the house. I'll deal with the guy. I'm still alive. I just flex and they run and, you know. But... We've done all those things. I had someone come to my house 4 months ago. Somebody else who knew about the situation called and said, "You better lock your door." Listen, I don't live in fear. The person who's coming to my door, I went out. They didn't get to my door. I went out to them. I said, "We need to talk." Because I love that person. They need reached. They need Jesus. And I'm not going to live in fear. Love pushes fear out, and you get rid of it. It gets rid of it. Just got to be a loving person. People who get filled with fear eventually recluse themselves. They don't like anybody. They get become nasty and mean and bite people's heads off and don't want to be around in bed. And they think, the whole world stinks. I got lumber on my mustache, and the whole world stinks. Because they become full of fear of everybody. Everybody's out to get them. Everybody's trying to do them. It's not a car. It's really undercover government agents out there. And you become weird because you become fearful. Be filled with love. It gets rid of it. Next, remove the fear of death. 1 Corinthians 15:55. I got to hurry. I'm afraid of the clock. It scares me. I hate those things. They tick faster when I'm preaching. They bother me. 1 Corinthians 15. I got to hurry. Verse 55. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? You know, one of the greatest things that ever happens is when you know you're gone when you die. You're 100% sure. Boy, that takes away a lot of the fear. John Harris, a guy came over with him, stuck a gun in his stomach and said, give me your money, I'll kill you. And he said, son, you can't threaten me with heaven. Listen, when you're not afraid of dying, see, a lot of the fear of age comes from fear of death. Listen, when you're saved and going to heaven, the worst thing can happen is you go walk on streets of gold and never have another pain again and get a new body. When you know Jesus has saved you, taken away your sins, and you can know that, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. You know heaven's your home. You know you're saved. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your payment for your sin when he died on the cross. Heaven's now your home. A lot of fear is gone. What if in Cabrini Greens or the Robert Taylor Homes or Old Hill Gardens or Wentworth Gardens, all those projects in Chicago, what if I would have died? I would have went to heaven serving God and winning souls. I think that gets a well done, a good and faithful servant. What? When you're going to heaven, you're not too worried. Listen, you can go wherever you need to go and do what you need to do. Can I tell you? You're going to die. Everybody is. But if death has, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? It's okay. Accept Jesus Christ, and that takes away a lot of fear. And then you get the Holy Spirit inside of you, and that takes away a lot of fear. And then the biggest one, and this is the biggest, most important one, I understand salvation is more important, but in your mind and in your daily life, the one that helps people the most, the one that you got to get, and the one the Bible actually says this one the most about removing fear, is actually knowing the Lord is with you. I'm going to be in Hebrews. I'm going to read a lot of verses here because it says it a lot of times in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 13. Timothy, can you go see if we can get either Becca or Rana? Bring one of them here. Hebrews 13, verse 5. It says this. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't worry about it. You're gonna hear some passages you know well, and you're gonna say, you know what does say that? How about Psalms 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Doesn't matter if I'm in the valley of the shadow of death. Doesn't matter. Come on, Rebecca. Come on up here. Becca's kind of shy. She's my youngest. Come here, Bex.
This is Becca.
Hello. She's shy. What does she do when she gets in front of everybody and she's shy? Clings to daddy. But you know what? Right now, and I didn't plan this out, by the way, but right now, Becca has nothing to worry about. You try to do anything to my daughter, I'll kill you. In love. And I'll kill you nicely. And she's safe. She doesn't need to worry. She doesn't need to figure out who's out there. Is there anybody out there who's... She doesn't need to worry about it. She just has to worry about me and being close to me. And she's fine. She's secure and safe because of me. Not because she has it all figured out. Now, if she wanders out there outside, what happens? She should be insecure. She shouldn't wander away from me. All right, Becca, let's take you back to class. Thank you. Good job. You did perfect. Go ahead and go with Timmy. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. When God's with you, Psalm 27 says, the Lord is my helper. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The guy coming to kill me, God can make him crash on the way. Nothing. I met a guy one time, and he wasn't saved before, and he had gotten saved later. And he was in the jungles in Central America in one of those drug wars. And he said a guy stepped out with a SKS and pointed at his chest. He didn't have time. Just pulled the trigger, and it went click. And this guy that I knew shot the other guy and killed him. And he said, God knew I was going to get saved after that. He said, I kept the bullet. It hit the pin. The pin hit. But God can save you from any circumstance. When the Lord is with you, you don't need to fear. You don't need anybody else. Nobody can harm you unless God allows it. You're okay. You don't need to fear terrorism or abuse or this. I mean, yeah, be wise. Lock your door and look both ways before you cross the street. No, do all the things. God's given you a sound mind. But don't do foolish things because you're afraid. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I'm going to read out of Isaiah. And again, I'm just choosing which ones to read. These are such good verses. Isaiah 41. And verse 10. Says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Cling to God. Now, you get distant from God, you have a lot to fear. You got the world, you got the devil, you got random chance, you got anything that can happen. But in the hand of God, when you're drawn near to God and you're in his hand, you don't have to fear. Hey, listen, you're looking at a guy who's been in 44 car wrecks. 44. The last one I was on was a motorcycle wreck, okay? You'd think I'd be so scared when I drive because I got post-wreck stress disorder. No. Every one of those wrecks were allowed by God. And I'm fine. And God takes care of me. And yes, I was in a motorcycle wreck going 30 miles per hour. And didn't have a scratch. I'm not going to live in fear. Because I've got my God, and as long as I stay close to him, as long as I draw close to God, as long as I cling to my Father, ain't nothing going to harm me. And you'll just find, it's not a trick of the mind, you will just find, as you get nearer and nearer to the Lord, fears get farther and farther away. And you find yourself feeling like you're going to be okay. It's going to be all right. I don't know what I'm going to do, but that's okay. I'm not going to live in fear. And the devil fights you and makes you worried and stresses you out. And he tries to get you to live in fear, but God has not given you that spirit of fear. Now, fear God. Fear living wickedly. Fear doing something ungodly. Yeah, fear all those. It's fine. Fear dangerous things that you shouldn't do. But don't live in a spirit of fear. In your mind, the devil is trying to make you fear so much that you run out of the will of God and run down into the wilderness where God is not protecting you. And there is where you get devoured. Remember, the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We got to finish up. Can I tell you? Don't have a spirit of fear. You have a great God, but you got to be close to him. Let him be your best friend, and don't live in fear. And live in a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word today, Lord. I had so much to say. I don't know if I got to a lot of it, Lord, but I pray that it was enough to alleviate some fear and make us secure in you. Lord, the world is a scary place. It's a chaotic world. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but we thank you, Lord, that you can take care of us. May we draw near to you. May we make sure we're saved. May we stir up the spirit in us by remembrance of what you've done before. We didn't even get to that. May we be full of the Holy Spirit. And may we just trust you and not live in our dwelling in the fearful past, but look at the bright future with you, Lord. Please, you know what needs done. And I pray if anybody isn't saved today, they'd get rid of the fear of death by being saved. We thank you for your word and what it tells us. In these things, may we respond properly in Jesus' name.